إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you and we continue inshallah ta'ala reading from al-mulakhas al-fiqhi in this class of fiqh of our noble Shaykh al-allama al-doktor Salih al-Fawzan bin-Fawzan hafidhahu Allah ta'ala wa ghafar lahu wa li walidayh wa li al-muslimin wa al-muslimat ameen. We're still on the section of al-zakat, the chapter before the last one, and is about babun fi bayani أهل الزكاة ومن لا يجوز دفع الزكاة لهم. باب في بيان أهل الزكاة ومن لا يجوز دفع الزكاة لهم. In this chapter we're going to learn inshallah ta'ala who are those people who are entitled to receive the zakat, who are the people that deserves to receive the zakat, that the zakat to be given to them. And also the Shaykh is going to mention those who the zakat is not due for them. قال الشيخ حفظه الله واعلم أنه لا يجزئ دفع الزكاة إلا للأصناف التي عينها الله في كتابه الكريم. قال تعالى في سورة التوبة إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل فريضة من الله والله عليم حكيم. قال فهؤلاء المذكورون في هذه الآية الكريمة هم أهل الزكاة، هم أهل الزكاة الذين جعلهم الله محلا لدفعها إليهم، لا يجوز صرف شيء منها إلى غيرهم إجماعا. The Shaykh, he began by saying in this chapter that the Muslim should know that it is not permissible to give zakat except to the categories appointed by Allah. That a person, if a person give it to other than these ones, is not considered that he has given the zakat. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in ayah 60 in Surah At-Tawbah, the zakat are only for the poor and for the needy and for those employed to collect the zakat, and also for bringing hearts together for Islam, meaning those who are close to Islam, and for freeing captives or slaves, and for those in debt, and for the cause of Allah, and for the stranded traveler. This is an obligation imposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is knowing and all wise, the all knowing, the all wise. So Allah mentioned here 8 categories. The people mentioned in this noble verse are those Allah appointed to be entitled to receive the zakat. It's good to learn this thing. A person needs to give the zakat. Some people, they make mistakes. He has his zakat and he just come and put it in a, like in here for example, in the West, they have a sadaqah box where the people wants to help with the masjid and maintaining the house of Allah. And that's for the masjid, you know, to do the things for the masjid. Certain people, they just come and put the zakat. No. As we're going to learn later on, the masajid are not one of the recipients of the zakat. So the person should learn these things so that he can give the zakat to the people appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a unanimous decision agreed by the ulama, that it's not permissible for Muslims to give zakat to any other people other than these that are mentioned in this ayah in the Quran. ثم قال الشيخ وأخرج أبو داود وغيره عن زياد بن الحارث مرفوعا إن الله تعالى لم يرضى بحكم نبي ولا غيره في الصدقات حتى حكم فيها هو فجزأها ثمانية أجزاء حديث أخرجه أبو داود لكن هذا الحديث ضعيف ضعفه الألباني رحمه الله تعالى في صحيح أبي داود في صحيح أبي داود وكذلك قال النبي للسائل إن كنت من تلك الأجزاء أعطيتك فهو جزء من ذلك الحديث الذي قال الألباني إنه ضعيف. The Sheikh mentioned this hadith, said Abu Dawood and other compilers of hadith related on the authority of Ziyad ibn al-Harith, that the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah, exalted be He, did not take the judgment of a prophet or any other person concerning zakat, but He judged according to it and divided it, meaning the zakat, into 8 kinds of people who deserve receiving it. In addition, the Prophet ﷺ said to one who asked him in the previous hadith, if you are one of these kinds that deserve receiving zakat, I will give you your right. However, this narration is weak. That's in Sunan Abi Dawood. And Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that this narration is da'if, is weak. قال وذلك أنه لما اعترض بعض المنافقين على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصدقات بين الله تعالى أنه هو الذي قسمها وبين حكمها وتولى أمرها بنفسه ولم يكل قسمتها إلى أحد غيره. So some hypocrites, they criticized the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning the distribution of zakat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illustrated that He was the one who distributed the zakat and pointed out the ruling thereof and that He did not appoint anyone to distribute them instead. In the Shaykh Salih Hafidhahu ta'ala, he brought a statement of Shaykh al-Islam. Statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala قال يجب صرفها إلى الأصناف الثمانية إن كانوا موجودين وإلا صرفت إلى الموجود منهم ونقلها إلى حيث يوجدون ونقلها إلى حيث يوجدون. He mentioned that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned that it is obligatory to give the zakat to all the 8 categories of people that are mentioned in the verse 60 of Surah At-Tawbah. That verse comprises 60 categories of people who deserve, lawfully deserve, to receive the zakat. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in his book Al-Ikhtiyarat, he said it is obligatory to give zakat to all the 8 categories of people mentioned in the Quran. Otherwise, it is to be given to the available categories and transferred to where they live. Meaning here that a person can give his zakat to all of them if they are available, to divide it and give a part of it to each one of them, if they are all of them available. But if they are not, he give it to whoever is available from them, the poor, the needy, and the like. The Shaykh is going to explain later on, insha'Allah ta'ala, these categories of people, these 8, who are they? To let us know, for example, who are the fuqara, who are miskeen, and al-amilina alayha fir-riqab. Because Allah mentioned 8 categories of people here that deserve the zakat in this ayah. Later on, insha'Allah, we're going to read to you how the Shaykh give us a brief definition, who are they? So we know who are these people. وقال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى أيضا في الاختيارات لا ينبغي أن تعطى الزكاة لمن لا يستعين بها على طاعة الله لمن لا يستعين بها على طاعة الله، فإن الله فرضها معونة على طاعته لمن يحتاج إليها من المؤمنين كالفقراء والغارمين أو من يعاون المؤمنين. فمن لا يصلي من أهل الحاجات لا يعطى شيئا حتى يتوب ويلتزم أداء الصلاة في أوقاتها. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه تعالى also he mentioned zakat must not be given to whoever does not use it to obey Allah. Naam. If someone who's going to use the zakat, knowing that this person, knowing to use his money for haram, zakat should not be given to such a person. He says, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained zakat for the believers entitled to it, such as the poor and the debtor, the one who has to pay debts, to help them obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To help them obey Him. And for those Muslims who help the believers, of those entitled to zakat, whoever does not perform prayer must not be given anything until he repents and performs prayers at least 2 times. You see? If someone is poor, for example, or miskin and the like, but if they don't pray, they are not to be given the zakat. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, could they disobey in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If they repent and begin praying at the due times of the salat, then they be given the zakat. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله ولا يجوز صرف الزكاة في غير هذه المصارف التي عينها الله من المشاريع الخيرية الأخرى كبناء المساجد والمدارس مثلا، لقوله تعالى إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين الآية في سورة التوبة. قال الشيخ إنما أداة حصر تفيد الحصر وتثبت الحكم لما بعدها وتنفيه عما سواه. إنما الأعمال بالنيات، إنما هذا الآن يقول إن في الآية إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين، إنما تفيد الحصر وتثبت الحكم لما بعدها وتنفيه عما سواه. يعني يقول الشيخ ليست الصدقات لغير هؤلاء بل هي لهؤلاء خاصة، الزكاة هذه لهؤلاء الأصناف الثمانية المذكورة في الآية في سورة التوبة لهم خاصة وليس لغيرهم. وإنما سمى الله الأصناف الثمانية إعلاما منه أن الصدقة لا تخرج من هذه الأصناف إلى غيرها. The Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى he went and say it is not permissible to spend zakat in channels of spending other than those appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as charitable projects like building masajid, mosques and schools. The zakat should not be used to build masajid. Naam, there is a virtue of building the masajid. There is a great virtue and merit of building schools for the Muslims, but not from this money, from the zakat. Not from the zakat. So, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, zakat are only for the poor, to be given to the poor and the needy and the rest of the 8 categories of people who are mentioned in the ayah 60 in Surah At-Tawbah. Sheikh Saleh Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala, he says, the verse indicate that zakat is not to be spent in any channel other than those mentioned in this verse of Surah At-Tawbah, as it must be given to these 8 categories in particular. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified these 8 categories entitled to receive zakat in order to inform Muslims that zakat is not to be given to other than them. Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan, he mentioned some grammar here, this innama, إنما if it comes before something, you should know that whatever comes after it, any ruling is for what is mentioned after إنما. Nobody can share with that. And that's exactly what the translation says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified these 8 categories in this ayah entitled to receive zakat, in order to inform us that zakat is not to be given to other than them. So it is only for this 8 and for nobody else other than them. And these 8 categories fall under the 2 groups, as the Shaykh mentioned, هذه الأصناف تنقسم إلى قسمين. These 8 categories that are mentioned in the ayah 60 of Surah At-Tawbah, the Shaykh, he says, can put them into 2 groups. القسم الأول المحاويج من المسلمين. The first of 2 groups, the needy Muslims. The needy Muslims. والقسم الثاني من في إعطائهم معونة على الإسلام وتقوية له. The second group, those who support Islam when receiving zakat and strengthen Islam and the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his statement subhanahu wa ta'ala, إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل فريضة من الله والله عليم حكيم. What ayah is this? Number the ayah and what surah?
October 16.
نعم. I mentioned that many times. The ayah what? 16 surah At-Tawbah. نعم. So you remember this, alhamdulillah. This is the ayah. This ayah mentioned what, once again? نعم. Ahmed, what this ayah mentioned? You still writing the notes? Jazakallah khair. Luqman. What the ayah mention? What does it mention? What Allah mentioned in it?
He mentions 8 categories of people who zakat to
be given. Ahsant. This ayah mentions the 8 categories of people that are entitled to receive the zakat. That are entitled to receive the zakat. And the Shaykh, he says, when you look at this 8 categories of people, they are on how many groups?
2.
On 2 groups. Okay? The first group, who are they? The needy. The needy, okay? And this minute from the Muslims. And the second group? Ahsan, to be given to those who, by receiving it, it's good for Islam and for the Muslims. As the Shaykh is going to explain after, to understand it's good for Islam and for Muslims, it's good for the people too, because some people, they're close to Islam. They have good manners and they don't fight the Muslims, to give them the zakat so that they can enter into Islam, alhamdulillah, and that's good for them. And also to be given to certain people to keep their evil away from the Muslims. You see, some people who are evil and they may harm the Muslims in the area or though. So when they are given from the zakat, they keep them off and hold them back. Jazakumullah khair. Just want to make sure that you're with me, okay? Because there is no benefit for me to keep talking, alright? And alhamdulillah, Jazakumullah khair. Alright, Abdurrahman? You taking notes? Mustafa taking notes? So we about you listening. Jazakumullah khair. طيب. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله ففي هذه الآية الكريمة حصر لأصناف أهل الزكاة الذين لا يجوز صرف الزكاة إلا لهم ولا يجزئ صرفها في غيرهم وهم 8 أصناف وهم 8 أصناف. He said in this noble verse Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and once again this noble verse is the verse 60 of Surah At-Tawbah. In this noble verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all the categories of people entitled to take the zakat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that zakat is not to be given to other than them. And these categories are eight. There are eight. Now the Sheikh is going to give details on, inshallah, a brief, actually, illustration on these eight categories, who they are. What's the first of these eight categories? Who? What Allah mentioned in order, okay? Naam, Luqman, Al-Fuqara. Because Allah says, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَى. Allah begins with them. قال الفقراء وهم أشد حاجة من المساكين وهم أشد حاجة من المساكين لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى بدأ بهم وإنما يبدأ بالأهم فالمهم والفقراء من هم؟ يقول الشيخ صالح حفظه الله الفقراء هم الذين لا يجدون شيئا يكتفون به في معيشتهم ولا يقدرون على التكسب ولا يقدرون على التكسب لا يجدون شيئا يكتفون به في معيشتهم ولا يقدرون على التكسب أو يجدون بعض الكفاية فيعطون من الزكاة كفايتهم إن كانوا لا يجدون منها شيئا أو يعطون تمام كفايتهم إن كانوا يجدون بعضها لعام كامل. Now the first category is the poor who need zakat more than the needy. So there is Allah says the sadaqat is for the poor and the needy. Okay? The Shaykh says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them first. Mentioned the poor before the needy. He mentioned them first at this list of the eight category of the people who are entitled to receive the zakat. Because Allah starts with the most important categories respectively and go to those who are important and the like. So who are the poor people that deserve zakat? Because sometimes a person, he's like, there's no poor in here. So we hear this a lot. And here in America, poor people, they come, it's like, where is the poor? I don't know, nobody poor. So now here we, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to learn who is the poor first and who is the needy. Okay? The Shaykh says, the poor are those who do not have what is enough for their living and are not able to earn their living. That's the poor. They don't have enough and they are not able to earn their living. Or those who have only some of their needs to maintain themselves, to maintain life, so they are to take from zakat what suffices all their needs when they have nothing, or what satisfies the rest of their needs if they have only some of what satisfies these needs over a whole year. So these are the poor who doesn't have nothing. Okay? They don't have anything. They go day by day. And they are not able to earn their living. Also, there are those who have some, but not enough. So therefore, in both cases, you give the one who have nothing, is to be given what's enough for them for a whole year. What's enough for them for a whole year. Okay? And those who have a little bit, you give them the rest. What's enough for them, for the rest to complete the whole year for them. So it's not like zakat to give them a little bit here and there. No, they have been given enough for them what they need for the whole year. So هذا الفقير. This is the poor people. The second category that Allah mentioned, who are they? المساكين. Translated in English to the needy. Al-Masakeen. قال الشيخ صالح الحمد لله صالح صالح الفوزان حفظه الله والمساكين هم أحسن حالا من الفقراء. هم أحسن حالا من الفقراء. فالمسكين هو الذي يجد أكثر كفايته أو نصفها. يجد أكثر كفايته أو نصفها فيعطى من الزكاة تمام كفايته لعام كامل. So the second categories of these people that are mentioned is the needy. The needy, the Shaykh says, they are better, they are in a better condition than the poor. Okay? They are in a better condition than the poor, but still who they are those who have most or half of their needs. They have most, not all of it, or half of what they need for a whole year. So they are to be given zakat, the rest of their needs, to suffice them for a whole year. And this is important for us to know, because sometimes a person, just because he sees someone have a car, he has a job, and he lives in an apartment or in a house, they think that person is rich. He may be struggling, maybe whatever that person is making, the salary or the job he has, maybe it's not enough for them. They're struggling, you know? Struggling every month, struggling with paying rent, food, children need clothing, need that. And they be borrowing money here, and they're in debts. You know, they're still behind a couple months for rent. They're making payments with the bills, whether with the power, Georgia Power, or with the mini bills. You find them behind in bills, behind with rent. And these are people, yes, even though they have a job and they work, they make living, but it is not enough. Sheikh said, these are the needy. And Allah mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Kahf, وَأَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ. They have a safina and they work on it, but they still, Allah mentioned them as masakeen. So the miskeen, the needy, are those who have most of or half of their needs. So if you know people like this, they have a job or they have a car. Car is needed to go to work. Not because a person have a car means he's rich. They need a car. Actually, that car it adds to their problems, because now they have to pay insurance, they have to pay gas, and they take away, and that car breaks down, you see? So you may know somebody who's struggling, that person may fit on the categories of the needy. So they be given what's enough for them for a whole year. The one who have most, maybe 2/3 or so, he give enough, he give the rest to complete the whole year. And the one who has a half and struggling with the half, then to be given from zakat what completes the whole year for that person. Al-thalith, what was the third category mentioned in the ayah? Al-amiluna, not al-alimun. العالمين العاملون. The mean before lamb, because if you put the lamb before mean, that changed the meaning entirely. Because العاملون, they are those who work, do some work. In here, those who go and collect the zakat. Remember in the previous chapter, who says that who sent the people to collect zakat? The ruler. The ruler, he sent people, he has people that collect the zakat. That's called amil. Amil is a worker, someone who work. And al-alim is the one who have knowledge. Al-alimun, those who have knowledge. قال الثالث العاملون عليها وهم العمال الذين يقومون بجمع الزكاة من أصحابها ويحفظونها ويوزعونها على مستحقيها بأمر إمام المسلمين. بأمر إمام المسلمين فيعطونهم هؤلاء العمال يعطون من الزكاة قدر أجرة عملهم لكن هناك شرط شيخ يقول إلا إن كان ولي الأمر قد رتب لهم رواتب من بيت المال على هذا العمل فلا يجوز أن يعطوا شيئا من الزكاة. قال كما هو الجاري في هذا الوقت، فإن العمال يعطون من قبل الدولة فيأخذون انتدابات على عملهم في الزكاة، فهؤلاء حرام عليهم أن يأخذوا من الزكاة شيئا عن عملهم، لأنهم قد أعطوا أجرة عملهم من غيرها. The Sheikh mentioned the third categories of the people who received the zakat: the workers, the people who are appointed by the ruler of the Muslims to go and collect the zakat from the people. So those people who collect the zakat from its givers, because they go and collect it, they keep the zakat, and also they distributed it among those entitled to take it according to the orders of the Muslim ruler. That's what they do. They go and collect the zakat, they keep it, and also they may distribute it according to the orders of the Muslim ruler to be given to those who are entitled to give the zakat, to receive the zakat. So these people, they are to be given from zakat in return for the effort they exert and put forth. Except in one condition, this is important to note, except when those in authority already give them salaries from the public treasury of Muslims in return for their work. Meaning if they, in our terms, if they are in payroll. Okay, they are on payroll and they receive the salaries, whether weekly or monthly or whatever, hourly. If they are paid by the government, by the Muslim ruler, okay, then it is not permissible for them to take zakat, to take from the zakat. The Sheikh says, as it is the case these days. Nowadays, yes, that's people, they work and they are on payroll. Anyone who works for the government, they are on payroll, okay, and they receive salaries, whether it be monthly or weekly or bi-weekly and the like. The government gives salaries to the workers employed to collect the zakat, and thus it is prohibited for them to take from zakat anymore, since they are already paid for their work from another source. Allah musta'an, find people, they work for the government, they get paid, but they still impose on people money, which is called rishwa, wal-iyadu billah, bribery. And this is a debt, this is a disease that, subhanAllah, consumes in many areas, in many Muslim countries. Some Muslim countries, Allah musta'an, the person he pray, make salat, but you stand in the office, you can't get no paperwork done. And he is paid. And some people, they tell you, look, man, you want to do this for you? You want to get the paper right now? You got to give something. If you don't give anything, come tomorrow, come next week. And you come tomorrow, they tell you the same, come tomorrow. It's not yet. And as soon as somebody gives them a little bit, yeah, subhanAllah, it's done immediately. And it's not permissible for these people to do this thing. This is haram. They are already paid by the government, by the ruler, they receive a salary for what they're supposed to do, what they hired to do. Wallahu al-musta'an. What is the fourth category mentioned in the ayah? Al-mu'allafati qulubuhum. Al-mu'allafati قلوبهم. Who are they? المؤلفة قلوبهم. قال الشيخ, and he's going to bring some details. قال هي جمع مؤلف من التأليف وهو جمع القلوب. والمؤلفة قلوبهم قسمان. المؤلفة قلوبهم قسمان, كفار ومسلمون. كفار ومسلمون. فالكافر يعطى من الزكاة إذا رجي إسلامه لتقوى نيته على الدخول في الإسلام وتشتد رغبته, أو إذا حصل بإعطائه كف شره عن المسلمين أو شر غيره. هذا هو من المؤلف, لا تعطى لأي كافر ولكن بهذه القيود. والمسلم المؤلف يعطى من الزكاة لتقوية إيمانه أو رجاء إسلام نظيره ونحو ذلك من الأغراض الصحيحة المفيدة للمسلمين والإعطاء للتأليف إنما يعمل به عند الحاجة إليه فقط. قول الشيخ صالح الفوزان: الإعطاء للتأليف إنما يعمل به عند الحاجة فقط، لأن عمر وعثمان وعلي رضي الله عنه تركوا الإعطاء للتأليف لعدم الحاجة إليه في وقتهم. So now we have the fifth or the fourth category. Which one? The fourth. جزاكم الله خير. The fourth category is about those giving zakat to bring their hearts together for Islam. To bring their hearts together for Islam. And those people fall under two subcategories themselves. The disbelievers and the Muslims. So there is from those مُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ non-Muslims. And they could be also Muslims. They could be also Muslims. As for the disbeliever, he says, the disbeliever is to be given from zakat, but with certain conditions, the Shaykh says. Naam, the zakat can be given to a non-Muslim. People, they ask too, sometimes, can the zakat be given to a non-Muslim? Yes, it can be, by the text in the Quran. The Shaykh says, the disbeliever is to be given from zakat if he is expected to embrace Islam, in order to make him more willing to embrace Islam. Okay, so somebody work or somebody give him da'wah, somebody he's around the Muslims, maybe a neighbor to the Muslims, he respects the Muslims, he respects the people around him, he say good things about Islam, he's like, look, this, yeah, you guys are doing good, but you got a lot of good things in your religion. This person to be given the zakat, from the zakat. Okay, for his own good, to enter Islam, inshallah ta'ala. If Allah wants that for that person. And also the Shaykh says, a disbeliever may also be given from zakat in order to withhold his evil from Muslims. If there is some Muslim, some disbeliever, who has some strength, and he may harm the Muslims, is to be given the zakat to keep his evil away, to keep his evil away from harming the Muslims. This is for the disbeliever. To be given this from the zakat, if he's close to Islam, they see, the Muslims see a sign in that person, that he's close to Islam, alhamdulillah. Or someone who's to be given the zakat to keep him away from Islam, from harming the Muslims. Okay. And also the Muslim can be given from zakat to strengthen his faith or to make his peer of the non-Muslims embrace Islam. Or for any other sound and lawful reasons that benefits the Muslims. Like the Prophet ﷺ, when he used to give to the leaders of the tribes. Muslims knew to strengthen them in Islam, and that strengthened them because their tribes and their followers, they respect them and they follow their leads and their orders. And it's from the hikmah, so that the people stay on Islam, alhamdulillah, and be upon faith and strengthen them in faith, as the Shaykh says. He says, such people are to be given only when necessary. So, these people that I mentioned, the مُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ, there is a reason behind it, why they are given the zakat, where they are close to enter Islam, or to keep their evil away, or to strengthen them in faith and the like. He said they are to be given only when necessary. For Umar ibn al-Khattab, Umar ibn Affan, Uthman ibn Affan actually, and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhum, stopped giving those people zakat when there was no necessity to give them in their time. There was no necessity, he says, to give them in that time. What was the fifth category, Luqman? في الرقاب. نعم في الرقاب. من هم؟ قال وهم الأرقاء. من هم يا لقمان؟ ها؟ لا تدري. جزاك الله. قال وهم الأرقاء المكاتبون، المكاتبون الذين لا يجدون وفاء، فيعطى المكاتب ما يقدر به على وفاء دينه حتى يعتق ويخلص من الرق. ويجوز أن يشتري المسلم عبدا من زكاته فيعتقه، ويجوز أن يفتدي من الزكاة الأسير المسلم، لأن ذلك فك رقبة المسلم من الأسر. The fifth category involves في الرقاب, meaning involves the slaves. But these are the slaves who they already made arrangement with their masters to be set free. Okay? Meaning they make an offer to the master, says, look, what about if I give you this? If I give you this much of gold and this much of whatever, animals of horses or camels, and this much of money, for example, and set me free. If the master agree, then that person now, if he doesn't have that, is to be given from the zakat. Sheikh says, these the slaves indebted to get their freedom, and who cannot pay their debts. In this case, such a slave is to be given what makes him able to pay his debts in order to have freedom. Sheikh said, it is permissible for the Muslims to buy a slave also. If there is a slave, a Muslim slave, it's permissible to use that money to buy a slave with the money of his zakat and emancipate him, meaning set him free. And it is also permissible for him to pay the ransom of a Muslim captive from the money he has assigned for zakat. For such an act leads to emancipating a Muslim captives. So if a slave, Muslim slave, made agreement with his master, then a person, the zakat can be given to him so that he can pay for that. Also, to free a slave, you buy that slave and freedom, set him free. Or if a Muslim is a captive with the non-Muslims, okay, and they set a ransom, they said, you give us this, I will give you, he's free. So he has to be given from the zakat. Who know a companion who actually made agreement with his master? He has nothing to do with the zakat, but he did make agreement with his master. Who know that? Who know a companion? Naam Ahmed? Bilal ibn Rabah. Bilal ibn Rabah, now he was bought by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Naam? Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. Naam, Salman al-Farisi. When the Salman al-Farisi, you know his story is amazing. Story is amazing because he traveled a lot from Persia, because he was in Persia upon his family, they worship the fire, Riyadu Billah. And then he one day he saw the Christians worshiping in their what they call them, churches? In the church, and he says, look, that their religion is better than theirs. So he asked them, he said, what is the origin of this religion? They says in up north, in Sham. So he traveled to the Sham. And he passed through a lot of things, subhanAllah, until one of the priests who knows about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he didn't mention in their books, and he said to him, look, there is now, I'm the last one, me and you are the last one, I don't know anybody but you and me who own this, what we upon. So, but however, the time is near, it's very close, that this Prophet, that the Isa alayhi salam mentioned his coming, ismuhu Ahmed, in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's about to come very soon. But he's gonna be in this area, and his people gonna chase him out of it, and he's gonna migrate to an area, and he described it to him. Have palm trees and here and this. So now he's like asking the people, whenever he go to the market, he asks the people about that, they don't know. Finally, a caravan of the Arabs came from that area. They said, yeah, we know exactly what you're talking about. He says, look, I have all of this. He has saved some money and he has raised some cattle. He says, take all this. It's yours. Just take me there. But they betray him. La musta'an. There was no Islam at that time. You know, Jahiliyyah. They betrayed him. And Allah al-musta'an. Those people, they were not upon Islam. They betrayed him and sold him as a slave. And he was sold to a person who sold it to another person from the Jews. So he was a slave to a Jew. I think it's time for the adhan, huh? No. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, rasulullah, amma ba'd. So Salman, radiallahu anhu, he went through a lot of hardships. Allah. Alhamdulillah. And he ended up to be a slave with this Jew. And as he narrated his story to Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, and Ibn Abbas told him, I wanted to recite, to say this story to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says that he was busy with being a slave. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah sent him as a prophet. He became a prophet. And he spent those 13 years in Mecca and all that. He says he didn't know nothing about that because he's busy with the slavery. He says until now his people in Medina, because that was Medina. He says, I forget to mention that when the master took him, he was so happy. He's in slavery, but he's like, Alhamdulillah, this is the place. At least I'm in a place that the priest, he mentioned to him, he said, this is the place. Because he knows its signs. So he says, until one day he heard the people talking about talking about the prophet and this, and that this prophet is coming from Mecca and this. So he's waiting for him. He's waiting. Until his master and one of his cousins, they were under a palm tree where Salman, he was climbing a tree, palm tree, fixing it, working on it, because they do some work on the palm trees. For those palm trees to give dates, alhamdulillah, bi-idnillah, by Allah's will, but they do some work. Talqih. You know, there's some work that the Bedouins and the people, they know. They climb and they cut certain parts and the wind, you see? Because there is the male and the female from those trees, palm trees. So they cut something in there, so the wind, Allah subhanahu wa arsalna riyaha lawaqiha. So he said, the wind bring whatever from this tree to this one and fertilize them. But now they have more, you know, ways to do it. They take a branch from this one and stick it in this tree, and alhamdulillah, they know their things. He says, once he was up there doing that, and he heard that one came and he says, my Allah, fight Banu Qayla. Meaning the Ansar, the Aus and Khazraj. Now they waiting and preparing themselves to receive this prophet. So he went down and he fall on his master. So what do you say? SubhanAllah. Anyway, even though the Prophet came to Medina, but he remained a slave, you see. The Prophet ﷺ, he didn't send a couple of companions and say, go get him because he's one of us. No, subhanAllah. Islam is beautiful, yeah. There is covenants, there is agreements between the people. But a lot of people don't know these things. Even the Prophet ﷺ is there and the Sahaba around him, but he continued to be a slave. But the Prophet ﷺ, he knows Salman, because Salman, whenever he have some time, he come around the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, he always ask about him, مَا فَعَلَ Salman. Right? Then once the Prophet ﷺ, he suggests to him, said, كَاتِبْ يَا Salman. He said, suggest something to your master. Tell him, listen, how much should I give you to, so I can be free? So his master told him this and much of palm trees, You plant them and they have to live, all of them. Okay? And some go. So the Prophet ﷺ, he says to the companions, أَعِينُ أَخَاكُمْ, help your brother with this, you see? So they, the people, they will bring, some bring one palm tree, some 10, some more, whoever have, little baby ones. The Prophet ﷺ said, dig for them and don't pour them in. So the Prophet ﷺ put every single one of them by his hand, ﷺ, and he says, by Allah, they all lived, none of them, subhanAllah, because when you plant those trees, some of them don't come right, they die, and the like. That was that. Alhamdulillah, he said, I paid the date, the palm trees. So now what is left for him? To go. Still waited, he's still asleep, because now he said, look, man, I gave you the palm, all of them, so just let me free, and I give you the... Nah, he's still asleep, subhanAllah. Until the Prophet ﷺ received from one of the Razawats some gold, and he gave it to him, and he was set free, alhamdulillah. And he was set free, radiyallahu anhu. There is a lot of benefits, points in the story of the Islam of Salman and the hardship he went through, searching for the haqq and searching for the truth. None of us, subhanAllah, went through what he went through. Some of us, he's just kind of like, I don't know, he thinks like it's a big thing just because he went to Walmart and somebody look at him. And these people, they went through a lot of hardship. You gotta be firm upon your deen, alhamdulillah, you're upon iman. So what if they laugh at you or they look at you, they call your names, they laughed and called names those who are better than us. Prophet ﷺ and the messengers and companions, they were tortured, not just some prophets, they were even killed. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, what he went through in Mecca and also even in Medina, they rallied the tribes to kill him and fought against him. So let us be firm, you're upon Islam, you're upon the Haqq. Doesn't matter, they look at you, they look at you. They say something, smile, let keep going. Don't stop, they don't want to fight. That's not what the Prophet ﷺ did. Alhamdulillah, you're upon iman, you're remembering Allah. You're upon that which if you die upon it, you go to the Jannah. So those people, you know, they've been laughing at you in this dunya, you laugh at them in Yawm al-Qiyam. InshaAllah, you don't. So don't let the shaitan fool you, you get mad and stop shopping and want to fight now and get yourself in trouble. La la. You never know. Somebody may call you a name only to see how you're going to react. And if you ignore him, he may follow you and say, excuse me, who are you? I just call your names, man, and you didn't budge. He said, I don't budge for stuff like that, man. If you have something beneficial to talk about, we talk. Well, talking like that, it's okay. It's not a problem. And he may say, I want to be like you. He said, look, I want you to be upon Islam. That's how it is. That's what changed the people, okay? Inshallah ta'ala. So be patient, ya akhwan. Be firm upon the deen. May Allah grant us firmness upon it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm upon Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and assist us to learn more about our deen, to grant us beneficial knowledge, which is coupled with righteous actions. This life is going to end one day quickly. Our lives, because everybody is going to die. And what's going to help us when we stand in front of Allah is that which we did in this life. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa taslimin kathira.